Time to look through the window of baseball. We do it for True and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, our dear friend, Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Marty, how are you?
Very good. Glad to be here today. And, you know, you've covered baseball for so long. Rain delays. You just never want to hear that phrase, rain delay.
No, I went through an epic one in Philadelphia many, many years ago when I was covering the Giants for the Chronicle. Steve Carlton had a no-hitter going, and a huge storm came in about around the seventh or eighth inning, and the delay was so long that we retreated to a little room and watched an entire game from the West Coast. And I think it was the Angels and Yankees maybe. We watched the whole game during the rain delay. And they finally resumed it at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we got out of there at like 3:30 in the morning. And still, Glenn Schwartz and I were tossing around a football in the Veterans Stadium parking lot at 3:30 in the morning. I don't even know where we got the football, but that was about as radical as I can remember in terms of a rain delay.
Yeah, and last night, I guess, no one told the press. I know you probably followed Henry, and Henry wasn't even there, and Henry was in the middle of it with Andy and everybody else. But, yeah, they never told anybody, and as FP told us a little earlier today, I guess the issue was, did they want to go up against ESPN's night baseball with the Giants in Washington, which I guess would be some sort of draw. So they kept everyone sitting in the stands, and the best part was Andy said, Denard Span just walked by in street clothes and said, why are you guys still here? So that's why they didn't get the information.
Yeah, that's a little different. I haven't heard that one, but that's, like you say, you never know what you're going to get when you come to the ballpark.
No. Well, this has been an interesting week for baseball, and the last time you and I talked was before the Cubs came in, and the Giants took two or three from the Cubs, and I want to get your thoughts about the Cubs. But the Giants playing a little better ball.
Well, yeah, they are, and, I think it was inevitable. I mean, there's too many guys on the team who have done stuff in the past. You know, they got their pride, and the season obviously is lost, but it's not too late to, make some impressions. I mean, management's in a position where they want to shake things up a little bit. Guys might feel a little bit vulnerable to a trade, or at least having management lose faith in him. So, it's a time to sort of resurrect that. You know, Pence is doing that a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a time for, where pride kicks in. And it's good to see that the team has that, because some teams get in position to, where it's just hopeless and they never really recover, and they're not much fun to watch. But, the Giants have definitely had their moments, especially against the Cubs.
Sandoval, Bruce, he fielded fairly well during the week, and he got some nice line drive hits. I haven't seen the power yet, but for his first week, 4-for-12, I thought he did well.
Yeah, it might be smart for him to come up and not, go for the downs every time, looking for the home run like everybody else is. He's got to show the Giants that he can make consistent contact, which is what he was known for. And most of his hits have been, left-handed to the opposite field, which is fine, driving the ball for doubles and whatnot. I would expect him to come around a little bit with the power, especially on the road. Boshi let him hit right-handed once. I'm not sure how long that's going to continue, but that's an interesting angle in terms of if they really have plans for this guy for next year. It would be nice if he's a switch hitter, which is the way they remember him, and he had some great success hitting right-handed. It wasn't just a liability. It was a real strength for him, so we'll see if he can get back to that. You have to have your doubts about it, but, overall, I think he's been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I do. I think he has. I think also Jarrett Parker, when Barry Bloom was on, we talked about the three true outcomes. The ball's not in play. Walk, strikeout, or home run. This guy looks like that kind of player. I think if he hits 25 home runs and strikes out 125 times, I think he's a left fielder.
Yeah, I do too. And it's good to see him really go after balls. He had that frightful collision with the wall, and he had one play going down the line, and the wall was right there, and he didn't show any fear of going after that ball, which is a good sign. It's sort of like a guy who gets hit, hit in the head or whatever, and he's gun-shy for the next 6 months. That wasn't the case for Parker. He's been stinging the ball, including against left-handed pitchers, and he's got a lot of talent. He's really fun to watch when he's going good.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is another guy who's trying to make an impression. I think, in the in May or June, you figured, well, left field, I mean, he's not going to be one of the guys, whether he's healthy or not. But he's kind of showing, you know, why the team has placed some faith in him. And if he can hit left-handers, he's really got that job.
Yeah, well, look, the three, I think it was Pablo, was it, I forget, let's see, Ryder Jones and Sandoval maybe and Parker, they got the three hits against the Cubs to win the game. The three, you know, the lefties actually, maybe it was Span was in that one as well. And they actually got it done, but the Cubs struggled a little bit. Bruce, they didn't look sharp to me.
No, and I would have had them up by eight games at this point. You know, from the All-Star break on, I really looked for a huge rebound. And boy, you look at it, the Cardinals are only one game out, and the Cardinals are getting into that wild card race, which I'm sure is making Arizona and Colorado a little nervous, because anytime the Cardinals are playing well, you have a feeling it's there's a sort of a permanence to it, and it's going to be a factor. It's not going to go away, as that's just how they are. And even, you know, the Milwaukee's right there, and so is Pittsburgh. So I love that the Cubs are getting pressured, and I still like them to win that division. But they do look vulnerable now. They've had some injuries, that are going to hurt them. So we'll see.
Yeah, I don't see them as a mortal lock to win the division. I think the Cardinals can go past them. I really do. Milwaukee's fallen apart. They've lost six in a row, something like that. And Pittsburgh, even with the addition of George Kontos, which has been fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The guy's had three great innings for the Pirates. But I think it's the Cardinals-Cubs in that one there. Hey, did you see the throw that Moncrief made?
Oh, geez, yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, a couple of them. They talk about, geez, even Bochy mentioned the possibility of exploring the idea of him being a pitcher, which he was at one time. But I'd rather see him learn to hit a little bit and take a real run at the outfield. Because, I mean, there's nothing better than a great arm, especially in AT&T Park, where it's so spacious. And, you know, he can run. He's not a terrible hitter. But that arm is just, that's a real eye-opener. I mean, that's like Dave Parker, you know, Ellis Valentine, Dewey Evans kind of stuff.
Yeah, to me, it was a flashback, I swear, to Clemente.
Because
Clemente never hit the cutoff man. You know, he didn't. And anyone who followed the Pirates in those years will tell you, you know, he just threw the ball, and he threw it accurately, but he had a great arm. This guy didn't need the cutoff man. He threw the ball to the plate, and if he can only hit. So I said to Bochy, I said, look, you know, you get in the ninth inning and, you know, you got the winning run on third and, you know, the outfield is configured a certain way. Why not put this guy into the spot where you think the hitter may hit it? And he said, absolutely, he would do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no replacing a great arm. You know, just a great contrast across the bay where Chris Davis really openly in the Players' Tribune talked about sort of a phobia of throwing. He knows he can do it, but there's so much doubt about throwing it too weakly or missing the cutoff man that he comes up making one terrible throw after another, and he's admitted this publicly that he has these problems. And, you know, I think a lot of guys who have inferior arms have that complex where, you know, guys are going to run on them, and what's going to happen next? And, boy, that is not the case with Moncrief. It just takes that one throw to see it, guys are not going to run on him.
One time. The throw to third. Well, you know, the throw to third was such a rocket. And I said to Crawford, I said, I thought you could jump a little bit.
Yeah.
And he says, I didn't want to jump because I wanted the ball to go through. He says, I purposely didn't because I said, boy, I thought you could jump.
Yeah.
And he said he let it go through. How about that?
Yeah. And another great story about throwing arms from that Willie Mays talked about in one of the books about Mays was in the 1951 World Series. Or maybe it was, actually, I think it was the 49 World Series. DiMaggio's arm was pretty much falling off, and it would kill him to make a throw. But in the infield, when you know outfielders would make throws, when the team actually took infield, you'd see guys making throws, and he took all he had. But he'd make a couple of incredible throws during the warm ups, and that was it. And he knew he couldn't throw anymore for the rest of the day. But the Dodgers saw that. And were fearful of it, and they didn't run on him.
No, I believe it.
Yeah.
I love that part of baseball, you know, the intrigue of baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great part. Looking at Yu Darvish, and Yu Darvish is a Dodger now, and I love the names. I'm going to give you some names. So he strikes out 10 or more in his first two starts. The only people to do that recently, Rich Hill with the Red Sox in 2015. Rich Harden with the Cubs when he got traded over in 2008, and Carl Spooner, right? 1954.
Yeah. Carl Spooner is one of those guys who he threw harder than just about anybody had ever seen, and he was going to have this great career, but he was a little bit wild, and the wildness got the better of him, but when he was right, he was one of those guys who could, he'd strike out three guys on eight pitches. That's just how good he was.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah.
He hurt his arm and never made it back and ended up driving the bus in Vero Beach. I think that's what happened to him. But, yeah, so yeah. Yu Darvish is in that category as well. One other thing for you. We haven't talked about the promotion that's coming up in another week or so, I guess a couple of weeks, where the nicknames on the shirts, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's going to have everybody thinking back to the days when, you know, baseball nicknames were really cool. You know, Harry the Cat Prichine and Muddy Rule. And Tom Boswell had a great piece. He was harkening back to the 1924 Senators, and there were like 13, you know, great nicknames on that team. Goose and Muddy and I can't think of all of them right now, but it's hilarious to think back on that. Today's nicknames aren't quite as good, but when you see something like All Rise for Aaron Judge, you know, that's going to sell some jerseys for one thing. They're going to be able to sell a ton of these jerseys, whether the nicknames are really that bright or not. But I think it's a great idea. And, you know, for the Yankees, it's the first time ever they'll have anything on the back of their jersey. Any names of any kind.
Isn't that something?
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, well, that, you know, it's part of marketing, and baseball wants to do it, so it's going to be interesting to see that. If you had a nickname, what would you put on there?
For me?
Yeah.
Probably just Jinx. I mean,
okay.
That's the only nickname I've ever been called by that you can print.
All right, Jed Lowry has Jed, so that's kind of... Kind of close. I guess I'd be Baseball Marty. I guess that's...
Sure.
I could go with that one. Raph is shaking his head. All right. Very good. Well, we got Edwin Jackson tonight. Edwin Jackson has been on, I think, 13 different teams, and he goes tonight.
This year.
Yeah. I mean, but the guy has an arm. You know, you know, somebody wants him all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Contos. I mean, I don't know if he's going to last with the Pirates, but he's always going to be a guy that's going to be in demand because he can come in and get people out. Anybody who can do a thing, pitching and be consistent with it, you're going to have a career. But yeah, Edwin Jackson, unbelievable, and he'll probably pitch 10 more years.
Yeah, a great arm. And you remember his first game against the Giants? He was at the Dodgers. I think he was 20, and it was in September. And he came in. I think he threw a shutout against the Giants. This is I can't even tell you what year it was. He's been around so long.
Yeah,
but that was that. So we get the doubleheader tomorrow. Scherzer gets in the night game, and I guess A.J. Cole gets the early game. And they couldn't do a traditional doubleheader because they had to get everybody out of the park so they wouldn't lose the gate. At some point, you got to just give in and say, just give in once in a while to the fans.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they sat out there in the freezing cold with lightning, and they had to go in the concourse because they couldn't stay out there. So you got a rain check, you got a ticket. Let him come into the park.
Yeah, you had a bad night. How about two games for the price of one?
Right.
That's what a doubleheader is. It's not splitting the gate. And it baffles me. I mean, once again, you notice that if the World Series goes to Game 7 this year, it's going to be in November, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, just schedule a few doubleheaders for each team. And, you know, real ones. Ones that start at noon and the games go back-to-back, 20-minute break. People might be surprised how enjoyable it is.
Well, tomorrow morning we're on at 8 a.m., only till 9, so you and I will have to reschedule. We'll get you on a little bit earlier tomorrow because the game tomorrow is now at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. So we're only on 8 to 9, so Raph will get in touch with you.
Okay.
And we'll get our schedule for tomorrow. But have a good night. What's up with you today?
I'm just going to watch a little PGA, a little Giants, and I've been trying to keep track of the World Track and Field Championships. I love it when they're a really big track meet and everybody's there. That's really exciting. So it's kind of gloomy out here down on the coast as it is most of the time. So probably a nice indoor with the girls and the cats.
And football is back.
Yeah. I've actually been watching a little exhibition football. You know, you want to see how the Niners are doing. Christian McCaffrey is down with Carolina. I wanted to see that. And Deshaun Watson on the other side for Texas. And It's great. Well, I wouldn't say it's great. It's not great. It's something you can miss, but it's kind of sets the mood. You know, the game is here, and it's going to be for real pretty soon.
Yeah, and you know, just a quick aside before we let you go, marketing. Marketing today is huge. It's just huge, and the NFL is suffering, and they want to promote the young players too. You know, just like baseball is nuts about promoting young players, football has got to do it too.
Yeah, and, you know, the exhibition season is a pretty good showcase. You know, you don't want to play guys too much, but, you know, the games are televised. The fans are just starving for action no matter what it is, and it's smart to give the rookies, at least a quarter. So, because, I mean, it's not just for the fans. I mean, the coaches want to see how these guys perform. And that, to me, is the saving grace of preseason. I mean, I don't really need to see Aaron Rodgers take 3 or 4 snaps. You know, we know what he can do. But somebody, you know, makes a controversial number one draft pick, and now here he is, let's see him. And you just hope that nobody gets hurt. That's the worst thing about preseason is, especially with all the concussion and injury issues today, if somebody gets hurt now for the season in a game that didn't even count.
All right. Hey, have a great evening, and we'll chat with you tomorrow. Raph will give you a call and set up our time for tomorrow.
Okay, I'll set the clock. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Okay. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.